Thank you, Lisa. 15 minutes before 6 o'clock on the coast. Well, our next guest believes that child's play is becoming a rare thing these days. Deborah McNamara is a clinical counselor and educator, and she helps teachers and parents and childcare professionals understand children in their care. And on Wednesday, she'll be giving a talk at the Vancouver Playhouse about the lost art of play. And it's one in a series of PEP Talks, short for Parenting Educational Program, put on by the Vancouver International Children's Festival. And to tell us more, Deborah McNamara joins us in studio. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
When you talk about play, what kinds of activities are we talking about that are considered play or maybe not considered play?
Well, the thing with play that's most important where a child's development is concerned is that it's expressive and exploratory. So you could take many different types of activities, mm-hmm. and they could be exploratory or they could be expressive. It depends whether or not a child has a certain amount of freedom and enjoyment coming from those activities. So you could play soccer. If you're playing for the outcome, that can turn an activity into work. If you're
right.
playing for fun with your friends where the outcome is less important, that's play.
I often think of when you're thinking about smaller children, sort of toddlers and preschoolers, you think about play as something that if you don't tell kids to do something else, they'll just do it by themselves.
Yeah, you can't make someone play. You can say, go off and play. It doesn't really work. Many parents have tried that, especially in summer times. It doesn't work. You know, play is more of a state of mind than it is actually something that we can cause to happen in our child.
And why do you think kids aren't getting enough opportunity or enough time to play?
Well, I think there's two things. One is that there's not a lot of cultural support for play. We think it's sort of frivolous, wasted activity when it comes to kids. It's unproductive. When in actual fact, when you consider the developmental literature, it's critical to them mm-hmm. becoming their own persons. The second thing is there are a lot of things that actually compete for their time and energy. So you look at the number of structured activities they can engage in, peer interaction, the amount of entertainment and information sources that they have now available to them. There's a lot of things that compete with this sort of expression that can come from play.
Are children playing less now than they used to, or are they playing differently than they used to?
I would say they're playing differently.
How so?
Well, again, I think there's more things that are going into the child rather than really realizing that it's actually what comes out of the child. And before we put in our answers, we want to make sure our kids have questions. Before we put in information, we want to make sure there's someone at home who can make sense out of their world, and they do that through play.
What is wrong with focusing on learning and on socializing instead of engaging in free play? I mean, I'm sure there are people who say, you know, oh, no, it's play-based learning. I'm sure mm-hmm. somebody rolls their eyes there and says, what's the matter with learning-based learning?
There's nothing wrong with learning. There's nothing wrong with instruction. There's nothing wrong with schooling. It's about making sure that we have time and space for a child to emerge into their world, and that it's about balance. And especially in the early years, 0 to 6, play is absolutely critical. There's some countries where instruction and schooling is actually held off until after the age of 7, Finland being a very strong example of that, who have an incredibly strong education system. So play is actually what develops the brains that benefit from instruction and schooling, but we got to get there first.
And what actually happens to the brain of a child who isn't allowed to play enough?
Well, it's interesting. Some of the research suggests that kids who are deprived of play have neural networks that are 20 to 30% less developed. It is critical for later creativity and problem solving.
And is it about problem solving? Because often that's what play ends up being. From my point of view, anyhow, there's whether it's, you know, blocks or bricks or cars or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Play is where creativity and problem solving first come out. And so when you're given the luxury to play with objects, to manipulate things in space where your ideas are expressed, that is actually what prepares them for later more complex problem solving.
People have got to ask you the question all the time about screen time now,
yeah.
because to some parents, play is, here's the iPad, honey.
Yeah.
And I had this discussion with somebody. Is there a difference between Minecraft and Lego?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I do get asked this a lot. I just wrote an article about this. And, you know, it's not that it's the device. The question that you have to ask yourself is, does it allow for the child to express themselves, their own ideas? Or is mm-hmm. it someone else's story, someone else's algorithm? Does it allow them to experience the world where there's, you know, real losses and lacks? There's no reset button. You know, our life is not not like that. We don't get, you know, a replay sometimes. We have to experience, you know, the losses that I experienced from playing checkers with my grandpa, you know, that those are what prepare you for the world ahead. And so the other thing that devices do is they can take us away from the people that we're supposed to be in closest connection to, which are our parents, our adults in our life that can really satiate and provide those relational needs. So there's nothing wrong with these devices.
Right.
It's just how do they interfere with what is also required for development?
How do I know if I'm letting my child play enough or not letting my child play enough?
Boredom, I think, is a really good sign of when your child is can a child fill up their own space and time with themselves? Do you see that in solitude there is an expression, an emerging that comes forth, a creative solitude, as you would say?
And should children be able to play happily by themselves?
I think so, but you also have to look at development. You know, a child under the age of 3 is really a creature of attachment, and up until the age of 6, they're still creatures of attachment. But certainly as we get older and we become much more of separate beings, we should be much more freer, much more full of our attachments and be able to sort of venture forth.
You are very passionate about this.
I love this stuff and I love to play.
Wait, tell me where that comes from.
I think I loved playing when I was a child. You know, there's some of my happiest memories. And I watch my kids play, you know, and it's not about the toys. It's about how they take a swimming pool and create it into a land called, you know, Mermaidia. It's what comes forth from them that is just, it's beautiful to watch.
The conversations are always kind of fun between them as well.
It's amazing what they'll come up with.
Deborah, great to talk with you this afternoon. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you being here. Deborah McNamara, a clinical counselor and educator. And on Wednesday night, she'll be giving a talk about the lost art of play at the Vancouver Playhouse from 7:30 until 9. We've got a pair of tickets to give away. Just be the first person to email us onthecoast@cbc.ca. That's onthecoast@cbc.ca. I'll put lost art of play in the title, won't you? Lost art of play. And that's onthecoast@cbc.ca. And include your name and phone number, if you would, so we can get a hold of you. And for more information about Wednesday's Parenting Talk, head to Pep Talk Series. That's as one word, peptalkseries.com.